Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Reverend Odette Lockwood Stewart, pastor of Epworth United Methodist Church, spoke on September 2, 2007. Her sermon was titled, Risk-Taking Action. Abundance is the reality. Scarcity is a lie. Redistribution is the key. The lectionary reading is Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, and Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 14. Her sermon is preceded by a presentation introduced by Epworth Congregation member Karen Hilton.
Today, in honor of Labor Day, we have the privilege to hear from Yanis Caballero, a worker at the Woodfin Suites in Emeryville, and Lara Rivas, who will be translating. And as you know, Epworth's been involved with a group called EBASE, an interfaith labor action group, for quite some time now. And today, a number of the workers that EBASE is working with are heading out to the pulpits to come tell their stories. And they've taken time out of their schedules to be here, and we're so happy to have them here. And so I hope you will give them a warm welcome. And I also hope that you'll consider, after hearing Yanis's story, that you will join me and fellow Epworthians in the picket line on Tuesday at 5 o'clock in Emeryville. And if you want to find out more information about that, you can come talk to me downstairs, and you can come talk to all of us, actually. But I think that it would be, it's an absolute prime time to join them now as the struggle continues and victories are on their way. So without further ado.
Tengan muy buenos días a todos en esta mañana. Mi nombre es Jenny, soy ex trabajadora del Woodfin Suites Hotel en Emeryville.
Good morning to you all. I'll be interpreting for Yanis. I wanted to say good morning and thank you for having her here. She is a former worker with the Woodfin Suites Hotel in Emeryville.
Les voy a explicar brevemente lo que sí es el problema que hemos estado pasando. Lo que pasa es que ahí había mucho trabajo en el hotel, mucha presión y...
So she wants to share a little bit with you about what was going on when this campaign started. There was a lot of pressure, there was a lot of work.
Justo en ese momento, pues, entró la medida C y nosotros apoyamos la medida C y por apoyar la medida C, el hotel nos amenazó.
So many of you might be aware of Measure C, which is a living wage ordinance in the city of Emeryville. At that time, the workers, the housekeeper workers began organizing around their rights pertaining to Measure C, and that's when they began to feel repression from the management.
Nos despidió del trabajo y es así como ahora nos encontramos ahora luchando por nuestros salarios atrasados por no aplicar la medida C.
So a group of workers were actually fired by the Woodfin management for organizing under the rights under Measure C, and that's how they find themselves now in the current struggle.
Y es así como ahora en esta mañana pues les pedimos por favor que si nos apoyan para poder mandarles unas postales al dueño del hotel y así poderles dar más presión y estaremos muy agradecidos.
And so this is why we're here today asking that you, in whatever way you can, you support the struggle of the Woodfin housekeeper workers. And one way is to sign these postcards. Perhaps downstairs you can talk a little bit more about what's happening. We have postcards that we'd like to send a strong interfaith message to Sam Hardage, the owner of the Woodfin Suites, and you can read these downstairs. And just to kind of give you a quick uplifting news is that Emeryville actually, the city of Emeryville ruled on behalf of the workers, and so now the in terms of giving them back wages, and so now the Woodfin Suites is going up against that ruling, and part of the struggle is now to get them to actually pay the workers their back wages that are owed.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much.
My favorite restaurant on the peninsula has a sign posted that makes me smile every time I see it. It reads, "If you have a reservation, you're in the wrong place." That is the good news we celebrate today. At God's table, not only no reservations required, no reservations accepted, no VIP seating, no head table. At God's feast, no belief, behavior, or sense of entitlement guarantees a place of honor. In fact, at God's table, claims of entitlement lead to humiliation and shame, while humility brings honor. Micah prophesies, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God?" In our text this morning from the Gospel of Luke, one time Jesus went to a dinner at the home of one of the religious leaders. There he noticed how the guests sought the seating arrangement, how they tried to get the best places, even subtly perhaps, how they tried to move towards the hosts, the seats of honor. He knew how those things worked, and we know how they work yet today. People of influence inviting people of influence to dinners or shows or special events, even benefits. And who sits where? At the table, in the school cafeteria, on the airplane, reflects who they are and how important they are. There was and is an unspoken assumption: do unto others in hopes that they will do unto you. Jesus directly called into question our preoccupation with position, our anxiety about affirmation, our seeking security in status. He subverts it all by saying, when you go to a banquet, go and sit in the least and last place. Honor others before you. And when you give a banquet, invite those in need, not just your friends, those who cannot repay you. Jesus' invitation to risk taking action that sustains our spirit is, give up your seat. Go to the end of the line. By risking location, we are set free from location, location, location. I remember meeting Mercy Odoyeye in 1977, Black African theologian and women's rights leaders, speaking out against apartheid in 1977, and when we praised her courage for taking such risks, she took my U.S. passport and held it up and said, "The only difference between you and me is that you still believe you have something to lose." Images that first come to mind as risk-taking action are things like the Witness for Peace delegations going into combat zones to become human shields to accompany and protect civilian populations, or demonstrators engaged in dramatic actions, say, sitting in trees, for a neutral example, inviting arrest in acts of civil disobedience. I loved the comment by a Tennessee football fan who was going by the tree sitters at the game and said, "You know, whatever I think of what they're doing, you got to give them that they climbed up those trees and they've been there for those months. I've got to give them that." Risk-taking begins with noticing where we are located, where we live, work, go to school, shop, where we are invited in, and where we are not, what we are moving towards, and letting go, moving to give honors to others. For meal service isn't about who is who, it's about feeding the hungry. Community isn't about self-improvement, O North Berkeley. It is about shared vision, shared need, shared joy, resources, and pain. Jesus calls to us, whatever power, position, privilege you have, whatever protection you have, use these to bless others. Tomorrow is Labor Day. Those of us who day in and day out, in ways too numerous to count, rely on the labors of others to provide our daily needs, need to offer to workers the places of honor they are due, the justice they are due. As Darren Cushman Wood said, people who pick and process our food and who cook and clean up our meals and places where we dwell must have a place at the table. When we feel entitled, we begin to think that there are others whose place is literally or figuratively beneath ours, who don't have the same entitlements or rights that we do. When we have reservations, we can become very angry with people who claim a place at the table, or they can be invisible to us. On the other hand, preoccupation with position can also tempt us to give up any place at all in the room, let alone at the table. When we feel the weight of our own failings or powerlessness or experiences of being shamed or discriminated against, we might be tempted to give in to the negative judgments we've been carefully taught and that we carry around within us. I cannot count the number of times people have expressed to me precisely that they didn't feel they were worthy to come to church, or they didn't feel it was okay for them to come to church, let alone join church, because of something they'd done or hadn't done, something they believed or didn't believe, as though the church itself was the head table for the somehow superior. The many times in my 25 years of ministry when life got out of control for people and they stayed away from church until they got it together, as though church were a formal dinner party with proper dress and proper appearance of every kind required. Miriam Therese Winter said, "All radical systemic change begins with a change in perspective." We are all invited to this table. As we say each month, we are not invited because we are worthy, but because we stand in need of God's grace, all of us. And coming to this table freely and humbly transforms every other table in our lives and in this world. This morning, we heard a word of witness, of direct experience of our sister, and we're so grateful for her presence here with us. I invite you, if you want to experience change of location, to show up at Woodfin Suites with those from Reconciliation and Justice Ministry, or to do the simple act that I did. I got an invitation to a special deal at Woodfin Suites, a card, very glossy, expensive card, and all I had to do was show up with that card and I would get all kinds of special things. So I signed on there, "I will be glad to come as soon as your workers receive their rights," and then sent it. I wished it was a postpaid already envelope, but it wasn't. It cost me a whole stamp, but at least we can do that. At least we can do that. Or serve at the men's shelter, or join one of the UMVIM trips, or engage our neighbors in fellowship each day. In the United States, more than 2 million full-time, year-round workers live below the poverty line. Walmart workers have to wait 6 months in order to qualify for a health plan that has a $1,000 to $3,000 deductible and only 3 visits to a doctor each year. There were more than 700,000 new uninsured children in this nation in 2006. Now a total of 9.4 million uninsured children in the United States of America. Now, a friend of mine once said, "I'll bet that the people debating whether we can provide health care coverage for all the children in this country, I'll just bet they have health care." Abundance is reality, scarcity is a lie, and redistribution is the key. There's plenty good room at the table. Perhaps this Labor Sunday, this Communion Sunday, the most risky thing we can do is to joyfully and humbly come to Christ's table. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to EpworthBerkeley@gmail.com. That's EPWORTH
berkeley@gmail.com.